hoppity hop. Mistletoe home where you can see every couple tries to stop. Rocking around the Christmas tree, let the Christmas spirit ring. Later we'll have some pumpkin pie and we'll do some caroling.
Welcome, everybody. I am Maggie Dawn. You are listening to a Christmas edition of the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm joined by Anya Esther in the production booth. Thanks for being here, Anya. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays, Maggie.
I love how if you're watching us on YouTube or Facebook, which you can, and see all the machinations that happen during break, etc., and you can see Anya's little tag, producer, comma, holiday Scrooge, if I'm reading that correctly.
I just felt like it's the only thing I could put under producer that felt holiday appropriate and true to form. I didn't think this was a holiday of lies, so.
Yeah, listen, you don't have to fake it.
No
way.
We're
just going to do the thing. This episode, we're going to spend some time talking about some good things and some holiday spirit, I hope. And so if you've got anything that you would like to share about the holidays, how your family celebrates, the special meals that you may share, your white elephant gift tradition, your favorite cookies, whatever that may be, 844-967-2789. I'm going to be sharing some of our favorite things to watch, movies and Netflix stuff if you're looking to binge some shows over the holiday week. But also I'm going to talk about, you know, what the holiday, I think, is really about, using a couple of recent pieces from the Washington Post. And finally, I'm going to talk about a new sort of party that's happening coast to coast, and maybe integrating that into the Civic Media 2024 lineup. So lots to come this hour. Give us a call or text. We want to hear from you. What are your holiday favorite celebrations you're looking forward to? 844-967-2789. But Anya, I wanted to start today. You and I were preparing a little bit and thinking about the favorite sort of holiday stuff we like to watch. And this one, this film, I am a huge fan of, but I often get a bunch of flack that it's not really a Christmas movie. But I disagree. And that is the film Die Hard.
Okay.
I love it. If you're not familiar, this is a Bruce Willis classic. We used to play a drinking game in college. Every time they said the word Nakatomi in the movie, you had to drink, which really gets the job done over 2 hours. But Die Hard takes place over a corporate Christmas holiday party, basically in one evening. Danny Glover, it's a really special film. I get a big kick out of it every year. It's kind of right in Bruce Willis's heyday, if you will. So if you've got films that you like, give us a jangle, 844-967-2789. You've got a couple of favorites on you. What's tops on your list for some good couch sitting and relaxing over the holiday?
Yeah, my list, I think, is a little different because, first of all, I'm going to say something that might deeply change the flow of today's show, which is that I haven't seen Die Hard yet. I always referred to myself in school as the film major who had seen the least films. So some of my tops are films like Elf, Will Ferrell's Elf. I think that's just such a modern classic. It's one of my favorites.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. And he's just hilarious in it. It's even my folks can get the jokes in that, right? A lot of situational humor. That's a film for everybody. I love it.
Right.
What else you got?
I'm a huge fan of Home Alone still. I've heard inklings and rumors that there might be still a Macaulay Culkin helmed adult reboot coming down the pipe for next Christmas. I don't know how true that is, but I would be stoked to see that because the original two are, again, some of my absolute favorites, especially the New York one, the second one.
Yeah, it's the Home Alone 2 is great. Everything but Donald Trump's cameo.
Oh, that's right. Darn it.
Right? He shows up at the Plaza, which is no longer a thing in New York.
Yeah.
It's you know, it's of a time, right? When Donald Trump was merely sort of a caricature.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that's how people viewed him. He still is that. And I think, you know, we could marinate on that thought for the whole hour. Still very much a caricature. But in the spirit of things, I'm going to let that one go for this afternoon. But yes, you'll see a little DJT with a little cameo in Home Alone 2. I love that film because, again, there's comedy in it. There's a coming together family message. It's sort of a bunch of our human frailties. And the fundamental idea in Home Alone 1, as well as the sequel, is that this little kid is going to get over on adults, right? And that is always fun to see. You got any other top hits for the holiday movie watching?
I got to say, I think those are my top ones. I thought I had another one, but I'm not. The thing is, I guess I'm not a big Christmas movie person. So some of my like New Year's Eve films, just films to kind of like reset the year with, I like to go back to the film that is my namesake, Anastasia, the Don Bluth film. That's just a good winter time film. It's not attached. I guess it's kind of the opening's kind of attached to New Year's, but otherwise it's just wintry and Russian and fun and musical. So, yeah.
It is. That's a great, great tunes in that movie as well. One of my other favorite ones is Scrooged.
Oh, okay. Which is, yeah.
Right. That is of a point in time as well. Bill Murray sort of doing Bill Murray at, you know, very much on brand for him in the movie. And it's, again, very, very comedic. There's I forget the name of the film, the Bad Boss one with Jennifer Aniston. It's like a holiday party gone deeply, deeply awry with Jason.
Is it just called Bad Bosses? I think it's just called that. Yeah.
I think so. That's what I'm recalling. I mean, that is just hilarity ensues. Not really family appropriate because there's a bunch of sexual humor in that one. But these are all great, fun flicks for you to enjoy.
Again, we're trying to. Jim Carrey's Grinch. No other variations will do for me. Only the Jim Carrey original, that is to say.
It kind of made him famous. Between that film and The Mask, that's kind of how Jim Carrey became famous because they were such specific character roles. Robert Palm chiming in online. I'm all about Gremlins. Oh yeah, that's another holiday classic from the aught 80s, early 90s.
How could we forget that one?
Right? Don't feed them after midnight. So much fun. But I was really interested to read up. There was a little piece in WAPO about Netflix just put out its viewership report, which is interesting. It's the first time Netflix has done this. They're not doing it by household. They're doing it by viewership hours for a variety of shows, a couple of which, I may be embarrassed to say, I have not really ever watched. The first one is the juggernaut that apparently is Gilmore Girls.
What?
Yes, it has logged 505.8 million viewer hours. Gilmore Girls, to give you a sense of time and place, it started on the WB network, which doesn't exist anymore, and then it moved over to the CW, also I don't think exists anymore. It stars Lauren Graham. She plays a single mother whose rich parents basically booted her out of the house when she got pregnant in high school, and it's about her and her daughter in a small town. And it's apparently has a bunch of like self-referential jokes and quips. It's very lingo-y. And people have just binged the heck out of this. I mean, to put it in perspective, like Better Call Saul had basically 300 million viewer hours. So Gilmore Girls is crushing Better Call Saul. Suits, another one of Netflix's huge juggernauts, that's topping in just a scotch under 600 million viewer hours. I have never, ever watched Suits either, mostly because as a lawyer, I start watching it. And I was like, this is not how lawyers act. And none of us are that attractive. Nobody can maintain that level of stress and intensity and look that good all the time. It's just an impossibility. Melissa and Ed in Madison also texting in 844-967-2789. How about The Ref? Yes, that's another great one. Lots of yucks in the ref. There's another, what is that? Billy Bob Thornton's Bad Santa. I mean, if you're having more of an acerbically oriented holiday season, Bad Santa's always also a good fun time. But yet, Gilmore Girls, 500 million viewer hours. A couple of other big ones from Netflix, Big Bang Theory, 420 million viewer hours. Never watched it when it was on network TV. Haven't gotten into it since it's been on Netflix. Also, I haven't watched any of, there's a thriller series on Netflix called The Night Agent. I hadn't even heard of this. It's got 812 million viewing hours. No idea what that's about. I love thrillers, so I'll be checking The Night Agent out over break. There's also a really interesting group of series on Netflix that are basically about women and women sort of upsetting power dynamics and calling into question gender norms. I'll just list a couple of them. Jane the Virgin, also coming off of the CW network. The Glory, which is a South Korean drama, basically about a woman who decides that she's going to destroy the lives of the bullies that bothered her in high school. I mean, right? That's got to be worth a checkout.
That's popped up on my recommendeds. I think it's in my watch list. Maybe I'll get it done over the winter holiday.
There you go. Also, notably, La Reina del Sur, that stars a Latina protagonist. Really cool. Queen Charlotte, Wednesday, and of course, Beef, which has been really popular. If you want some out of the ordinary, some women, again, upsetting some gender normatives and tipping the apple cart, as they say. So some good recommendations for some holiday relaxation and yucks with you and yours over the holiday here on the Maggie Dawn Show. When we come back, I'm going to tell you a little bit about this new kind of party that's been going around the nation, quite the rage. And I'd like to hear from you about your favorite family traditions. But also, when we come back, if this is the kind of party you think civic media should host, and if you want to participate. So you're not going to want to miss that when we come back after these quick messages here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to a Christmas edition of the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't worry, you can take Civic Media with you on your phone wherever you may be traveling this holiday season. Download the app. It's free from your favorite app store, whether for an Android phone or an iPhone, whatever you got, it'll work on there. Go get the app. You can just with one click join us via call or text. Makes it real easy. You don't have to remember that gosh darn number, but it is 844-967-2789. What's your favorite family tradition? How are you helping to celebrate the holidays, whether with your family or with strangers or with friends who you now get to select as family, a chosen family, if you will? Here is this party that... legit, this article came out in the New York Times today, and I thought, this is my bag, man. It is called It's My Party. This is the title of the article written by Molly Young in the New York Times today. It's My Party, and I'll read if I want to. What might that be, you may be asking yourself. What it is a bunch of people who sign up to attend a reading party. An event that bills itself not as a book club, but literally a reading party. These parties, which first began this past May, take place on rooftops, in parks, at bars, And the premise is simple. You show up with a book, you commit to reading a chapter or two at the party, quietly without your cell phone on, gasp. And then you chat about the book that you're reading with a couple of strangers, and they call it, a 2-3 hour party. I love this idea. For example, one that just happened a couple Mondays ago here in December in New York City, they gathered for what they term reading rhythms. There were 65 people at this, but there were 270 people on the waiting list to attend this. And this idea for these parties came about when four buddies who are in their 20s live in New York. Basically, that they felt like they needed a structured environment to both hang out and have some time with each other, but also where they were going to actually talk about stuff, where they were going to turn the phones off and really engage in some conscious consumption of reading materials, the old-fashioned kind, the ones that you hold in your hand and page turn. And, this is part and parcel of the modern era, right? We're all attached to our phones all the time. We tend to interact more via text, right? I text so much with folks. This is just kind of the trappings of the modern day. And this stands as a counterpoint, at least these four gentlemen or these four friends from New York that set up the first one of these. And after they had the first one, they all sort of looked at each other and said, I think we've got something here. Because if you enjoy reading at all, sometimes I think it's hard to find a space and a time to do any reading. And here it's not just reading alone, but you're reading with a bunch of people. The cell phones are off, and then you get to talk about what you're reading. Maybe find your next favorite book from the stranger that you might be randomly paired up with to do the reading. And to me, this sort of harkened back to some of my favorite times in college where you'd be cramming or studying late at night in the library. You'd come across a friend or maybe somebody you didn't know so well. Hey, how are you approaching this? And you'd get going, and all of a sudden you'd find yourself down some tangential rabbit hole talking about issues of the day or what you were studying in a whole new and different way, sometimes with people that you didn't know so well. I don't know that the concept that these guys have come up with is all that new, but certainly trying to say we should take some time out and engage this activity is a bit different in this time and place. And I thought this spoke volumes about our need to have some structured conversations with one another, to learn from one another, and to actually be physically present when we're doing that. It's so much easier to dismiss other people or their ideas or perspectives when it's over a video screen, through a phone, or on some anonymized Twitter post or, all of the social media stuff. Boy, is it a different experience when that person you're exchanging some lived experiences and perspectives with is sitting right next to you. Those kinds of human connections, I think, particularly at this time of year, can really be transformative. And so, for all of us, I would think this may be a terrific idea. And I got thinking about it more, and I thought, oh my goodness, let's see if civic media can host one of these reading parties. You can bring whatever reading materials you want, have folks sign up. We can donate, say if we got like a $10 sign-up fee, donate it to a charity that's local, wherever it's being hosted, and have people come together, much like we do on the radio, but come together in person, bring our favorite book that we're reading, and talk about it with someone. The great part is, unlike a book club, the presumption is that the other person hasn't read what you're reading, and you do not have to have read the entire book in order to tell somebody what you just read for that prior hour while you're sitting there with your cell phone off taking a read. So anyways, I thought I'd throw it out there to all you great people. Do you think a reading party or something similar would be a fun idea for civic media in 2024? I know I'm a nerd, and not everybody is a nerd, but we're all reading something. that grabs our attention from time to time. And wouldn't it be great to do that together with our phones off and then just talk to one another? What a revolutionary concept, right?
And can I just chime in, Maggie, that this solves, like, I think two of the main issues of the standard book club, which is one, usually everyone's reading the same book. That's not fun if you're in a group that are like, you have different time commitments, different reading levels, different interests. And also, so it sounds like everyone can kind of show up and commit to reading what they're working on, right? And then the other part is, for a normal book club, right, you got to read before you show up and then you talk about it when you're there. And that's actually two time commitments. That's the meeting, but it's also the prep work. And this is finally just the meeting.
Gets rid of all of that static. That's so allows great. You to show up. Yep. Just as you are. If you've got, say, 2.5 hours where you'd like to have a couple of hot toddies with some new people and maybe a couple of friends that you've had for a while and exchange some thoughts and ideas and some book recommendations. Boom, here it is. I'd love to see it in 2024. I'm going to go talk to the bosses about it because, boy, a civic media reading party, that sounds right on brand. I'm Maggie Dawn. Keep it locked. When we come back, I'm going to talk about a little bit more about what the community spirit is, what being together truly, I hope, should be about. Both as informed citizens, but also as just friends and family. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Give us a call or join us by text 844-967-2789 on this holiday edition of The Maggie Dawn Show. Welcome back, everybody. Merry Christmas from me, Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy holidays from my Holiday Scrooge producer, Anya Esther.
Bah, humbug.
Bah, humbug. If you want to call, share some of your family's traditions, share some movie ideas, your favorite cookie recipe, or your Festivus feelings or thoughts for the season, you are more than welcome this hour. Give us a call or text 844-967-2789. One of my favorites, Mark from Prairie du Sac, you're on the Maggie Dawn Show. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas, friend. What say you this afternoon?
Happy holidays. Yes, and I have a fond place in my heart for Die Hard. Let's remember, Die Hard came out in the summer. And the reason I saw it was my first date with a woman that, and we were going to go see Who Framed Roger Rabbit because she was an artist and she wanted to see, you know, the cartoonian, but that was full, so we went to see Die Hard. And I can remember there's some clip in there, I can't remember what it was, but she turned and looked at me with such a look of delight when that happened. I mean, that, and we dated, and we're still friends to this day. I mean, that was 35 years ago now. So I have a special place in my heart for Die Hard, but I also remember watching Miracle, the original version of Miracle on 34th Street, and of course that It's a Wonderful Life, and
all right. Sorry, so, Mark, I've got a question for you. I really have a hard time with the film It's a Wonderful Life. I find there's like a dark undercurrent line in that film that, like, I cannot sit through it. Sort of the acceptance of the idea that people would do the run on the bank, the greed of Mr. whoever it is in the film. Like, I find that movie really hard. That's not even getting into the gender roles and all that nonsense. But what are you a big fan of It's a Wonderful Life? I get all kinds of responses, like very vehement responses in defense of that movie when I talk about it.
Well, it's just the fact that I think that it's George Bailey at the end of the movie is that everybody trusts George Bailey, including the guy that got himself rich by, you know, in plastics. I mean, that he said, there's no question in his mind. He says, you need money, I got it for you. Because that, and he appreciated that. It seems like that rich guy that got made his money in plastics appreciated George Bailey for what he did, you know, that offering an opportunity to everybody. I mean, that... you know, immigrants alike, where, you know, where Mr. Potter has the attitude of a Donald Trump, where he, you know, that there's the other, and, you know, that his reference to the garlic eaters and all this, and that it's, you know, kind of the whole community gathering together to help this guy out, because they trusted this man who gave up, you know, that basically gave up his dreams for everybody else's dreams, that...
Yeah, it's quite a moment, isn't it, for that sort of a message, right? The idea that someone would give of themselves so freely and without self-interest at the root to help community is really kind of extraordinary in these times, which brings us nicely. Thanks so much for the call, Mark. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas to you and yours, friend. Be safe, be well. It brings me to these couple of articles that I saw in the Washington Post about, these weren't expressly holiday articles. They weren't related to Christmas or Hanukkah or Kwanzaa or anything at all. But I thought, boy, there's a through line here. The first one was actually an advice column. It's written by a lady by the name of Carolyn Hacks. She's been doing this for WAPO for some nearly 30 years, I think. And here's what the writer wrote in. Dear Carolyn, how can I find a, quote, family of choice? I'm divorced. The marriage was, if not downright abusive, extremely damaging. Yes, I'm in therapy. And yes, choosing that marriage was just the tip of the iceberg. But I'm gainfully employed, fairly well liked, and I'm not a bitter human being, which I think is something of a miracle. But I don't have much family left. I only have a brother that I like a little bit, but whom I have little in common. We are in friendly terms, but not close. The marriage left me with no support system, so I'm carefully rebuilding one. The thing is, all of my new friends have complete lives and families. They don't need to ask people outside of their family circle for help. Anytime I need a second pair of hands for something, I have to ask someone, and I fear burdening them. How can I build a network around me and not feel like a leech? So that was the question that came in to Carolyn Hacks. And what she says is that, you know, despite the fact that people's lives may look complete from the outside, we all need one another and we all need help from time to time. And that fundamentally means go ahead and ask people, extend yourself to them as well, and do so without expectation that they're going to help you out in return, but that enjoy and build relationships with other people that you meet in all different activities that you're involved with, just for the sake of building the relationship itself, right? Just for the enjoyment that you get in interacting with other people, hearing other people's stories, and listening well to other people. And that by doing this and regularly getting out in actual physical proximity to other people, that your circle, your family of choice will eventually develop. And I thought, you know, that's, yes, right? This is sort of the idea behind these reading parties. Like, let's actually get in the same room and talk about something with one another. And I think, you know, if we're in our own echo chambers or exclusively online, these things can't happen. I have enjoyed meeting people that disagree with me in all kinds of different settings, both professionally and otherwise. It deepens my respect for people with different perspectives, but it also deepens my own ability to assess and analyze what I think. It also fundamentally provides opportunities to be kind to other people simply for kindness's sake. That's it. Not because I expect anything in return, but being kind to people feels good. And I thought in her response, she Carolyn Hax went through some of this, but she also shared some of her other readers' thoughts about this. And there were a couple that I really thought stood out. One reader responded and said, "I long for the days of my youth when a friend would just randomly call me up and say, 'Hey, do you want to go to Target with me? Please ask people to do things with you. You might be doing them a favor too.'" And boy, isn't that true? I do miss it. Hey, you want to just go to Target together and hang out and see what's at the Target, the Jacques Penney, the TJ Maxx, you know, all of the big designer stores. Yes, I love doing those kinds of things with my friends. And in fact, some of the great times that I've had recently with people is when we're doing the most mundane things. The old Target run, that is a good way to just spend some time and get to know people. How wonderful. Here was the other thought written in by another one of Carolyn Hax's readers. "My husband and I feel emotionally rewarded when we are able to be supportive of our neighbors and friends. Sometimes it's just doing a physical task that they may struggle with. Other times it's offering to pick up something at the store. It never feels like a burden. It feels like community." Yes. Go knock on the neighbor's door, offer them a plate of cookies. Everybody likes cookies, even if they're trying to diet. They'll still eat some of the cookies. They'll freeze the other ones, right? Like, extend yourself in these ways to people. And I do think that genuinely people enjoy being kind to other people and doing for other people. Because here in Wisconsin, that's just what we do. Any of us that grew up here or live here have either ourselves or had a neighbor who's got like the Uber powered snowblower or just likes machinery, like blast the whole block, right? Or call up the elderly neighbor. "Do you need me to take care of your snow?" I've shoveled neighbors out, helped people shovel out their cars. This is what we do in Wisconsin. We are of, by, and for other people. That is really ingrained in our Wisconsin spirit. And so I think this holiday season, if there's anything that I can ask us all to do together, and that is reach out to someone that maybe you wouldn't otherwise have reached out to, ask them to go to Target, ask them if they need a help if we ever get any snow, ask them if they need some help with a shovel. Hey, Joanne, you're on the Maggie Dawn Show. What say you this afternoon?
Yes, I know I'm going to be really off base here, but civic media would not be the same without you. Thank you so much. When I heard your voice on the Devil's Advocate show quite a while ago, while you were still deciding to do this, I thought, we need this lady in our lives. And I just want to thank you for the intellectual power and the fun and all of that great stuff that we all know as listeners that we get every single time you're on the air. And again, unsolicited, I know I shouldn't do this type of thing, but you're fantastic. And thank you for the personal sacrifice, too, because I know as a professional woman myself, this stuff comes out of sleep time, and it comes out of relaxation time. Every time you do something like what you're doing, you really have to draw from some resources that that need to be refreshed. So thank you again. Okay, I said it. Okay, I love you. Bye-bye.
Joanne, you're going to make me choke up on the radio. There is community in trying to share what you think, right? And I don't always do it in the best way. I'm flawed. Sometimes instead of building bridges, I'm burning them. But my aspiration is to build bridges and find the things that connect us so that we can tackle these, our most important questions of the day, together. Because it's only when we can do this work together that it has meaning, right? That's what really makes it valuable, is not me talking into the ether because I like to hear myself talk, which, you know, I'm a lawyer, I probably do. It's sharing with you, learning from you, and learning together, and trying to find those places where we agree. It certainly has been some of the most humbling work of my life to come on and try to ensure that I've got something to share that people might find valuable. So thank you so much for that, Joanne. I really appreciate each and every one of you that take time out of your day to listen and sometimes to participate. You're always welcome. 844-967-2789. It's a nice way to transition into this final piece that I wanted to talk about today, also coming from the Washington Post on December 5th by Theodore Johnson and Autumn McDonald. And here's what the title of this article is. I'll tease it a little bit, and then we're going to have to listen to some important messages together. But here's what, this is an opinion piece. And the headline is, to find what society needs, look on the sidelines of kids' soccer. And they begin by, you know, describing that early December usually brings about the end of a very busy soccer season for a lot of parents, other fall sports as well. Whew, finally, I'm not driving them around every day of the week. But these opinion writers make some observations about what young kids soccer is about when it's really happening at its best, particularly on the sidelines. So we're going to start with that when we come back, because I think it sends us off into the Christmas holiday on just the right note. My gracious thanks to all of you. Stick around for this last segment. It's going to be the old parting words for 2023 here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join us, 844-967-2789.
Happy New Year. Here's a toast to me and you, dear. Each December, it gets better.
Tight as I've tried to hold it down here on the Maggie Dawn Show for these last some 6 months. It's been great to be back on the air. I wouldn't be able to do it without you, Anya. You make this so much more fun. I get to learn about new artists by listening to the music selections. And every time I hear you, when you are the live host, I learn something as well. So thank you for all your work and partnership in this little endeavor we got going on here.
Well, thank you, Maggie, for letting me get away with what you let me get away with and liking it for whatever reasons you do. Thanks, Maggie.
It's because you're great at it.
All right.
Your perspective matters. It's a take that people, I think, need to hear more of. So it's my privilege to have you come on the air and share your thoughts on this show every once in a while. And you're going to be doing that tomorrow. Everybody's going to not want to miss.
That's right.
A live Maggie Dawn Show being hosted by Anya Esther. What are you talking about tomorrow? The 400 books that apparently we need to pull from school libraries?
I really am. And I'm talking about it because, Maggie, I learned about that news while producing your show. I truly had not heard of this 444 book list that I'm not going to lie. I got some articles open here. I may be doing a little research during this time, too. But it's just some guy is the thing. And it's like, who are you? And I'm reading through these books. And folks, I am going to have some real takedowns of just how ridiculous this specific group of books they want, quote unquote, banned. It doesn't make any sense other than the senseless hatred that's being pushed through these book bans. So I'll leave it at that. Get more tomorrow. You got to come back for it.
Absolutely wonderful. I will be listening for sure. Mark from Prairie du Sac texting us that he loves some Karen Carpenter Christmas songs. They sure do touch everybody's heart. Pat Benatar, awesome. I'm loving it. If you want to get your 2 cents in here, 844-967-2789. But before we went to break, I was talking about a WAPO op-ed with the title, the headline, "To Find What Society Needs, Look on the Sidelines of Kids Soccer." And the authors go on to talk about the fact that obviously winning and sportsmanship matter. The key to a good kids soccer game is basically locked in by the parents that bring the snacks, right? You need the parents who bring the snacks. If the snacks are good and halftime goes well, and then after everybody's got the orange slices or the apple slices or a little goodie bag or whatever it is, everybody goes home happy, right? Everybody got a snack. We ran around a little bit. We hung out a little bit after the game and everybody's happy. And in order to make this happen, you have to have a bunch of folks, parents, or other people that take care of these kids and shuttle them around that care enough to make the snacks and to organize who's making snacks and pay attention to the allergies and do all this stuff, right? And there's always the one or two parents that are objecting, are unreliable, who don't want to do it, who don't follow the rules, don't pay attention to the allergies. They're usually also the ones that flip out on the sidelines. But they are typically in the minority. The vast majority of parents who help their kids engage in whether it's soccer or the myriad other theater, visual arts, any of these things, typically they're organizing each other to make sure that the kids have a good time. There's some snacks provided. It's what folks used to call fellowship, right? Like people would be at their place of faith worship. And after the worship service, whatever that was for you, there'd be fellowship. People would gather together, oftentimes, and particularly in Wisconsin, potluck style. I mean, I think, you know, you turn 16 and your aunt buys you a crock pot in Wisconsin, right? Because, like, you're going to have to go to a potluck and you better have something to keep the meatballs hot in or whatever your preferred dish to pass is. And these writers go on to say, in this moment when our larger society can feel so chaotic, and when politicians and some people on the radio are telling you that, like, you know, the end is nigh, it's doom and gloom, we can't trust and be with one another anymore, that despite all of that, if we do a little bit more of fellowship with one another, we model those folks, the parents that actually are able to work together to coordinate despite the different neighborhoods they may live in or their different belief systems or their different socioeconomic status, if you will, different jobs, different background, that the parents of kids in these different sports and activities and all these different things, they get it together and manage to ensure that everybody's got a place, that the fellowship happens. And what if we started to do that a little bit more? And they go on to not only say that we need to do that a little bit more, but that we need folks in our society that step up and say, I will be well-informed and I will help engage the conversation. And they come up with a name for these people. They call them a civician. In other words, the word civic and then like the I-A-N. A civician, like a physician or a practitioner, if you will, of some type. But the practice here is civics and the idea of being a good resident and participant in our government systems. And that if we have fellowship and civicians who raise their hand, who are actively engaged, and who do this not to benefit themselves, but to help people become more discerning, to help us orient around problem solving, to help us orient around critical thinking, not to point out always the things that separate us. That these people, coupled with our commitment to fellowship, can be the ones that can transform our dialogue today. And I just thought I would leave us all with that as we roll into the new year. I'll be back on January 3rd. But let us all be the people who help bring fellowship together and let us all endeavor to be civicians, those who are engaged, but engage not to benefit ourselves, but to benefit our communities, our neighbors, our coworkers, our family and friends, and even those that we do not know. In that, I believe, is the true holiday spirit. That's my message for all of you. A most merry of Christmases to each and every one of you. Look out for yourself, but more importantly, look out for one another. It is up to us. My thanks to you, Anya, for a great 6 months. I look forward to 2024. You've been a great partner and a friend. That's it for me on this last episode of the Maggie Dawn Show for 2023 on the Civic Media Radio Network.